was probably
Go ahead.
it was probably an algorithm that
Yeah. I mean, I sent them a note saying, look, I understand that it's forbidden to talk about questioning the election and we can't talk about the vaccine, but sex trafficking, I didn't know that was a forbidden topic. So they were, but they restored it to their credit. So, but I just feel so like on, you know, like on tenterhooks with YouTube.
Well, there's an article that came out of National Pulse a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
That you may know of, suggesting that Google has funded gain of function research.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Wuhan lab.
Yeah, we should talk about that. You know, before we go there, I just want to mention that I'm having a Zoom conference today with my doctor at Mass General Hospital.
All right.
We're going to talk about whether or not it's appropriate for me to go back to doing Uber, which is something, one of the many things I do. I usually used to do it early morning and I miss it. And I'd like to get back to it, but my family's concerned. I'm concerned. I've been, for better or for worse, I've been fully vaccinated as a family. And I don't know what the thinking is on that at this point. So we'll find out.
Well, last time I took Lyft, they still required masks to be worn.
Sure. And I understand that, you know, you're sitting in a, I think in Massachusetts, they still require the mask for transportation.
Right.
Only. That's the only thing that they left there. Because, you know, you're sitting in a small cubicle with another person for a period of time. So, you know, right. I get that. I also understand that people generally now, it's kind of, nobody talks anymore because that's dangerous, which of course takes away all the fun for Uber, because I used to love to, you know, have great, you know, conversations with people. So that kind of reduces that. But other than that, you know, I'm going to see what happens. Sure. So, but yeah, what's the deal with the funding of gain of function research? That's we have, I think, confirmation that Anthony Fauci's organization was involved in it, that it was actually Obama that banned it in this country in 2015. Right. Because it was just too dangerous. You know, I remember back in 1990, in the late 90s, early 2000, talking about this on my program on the American Freedom Network. I think you used to listen to that.
Hmm.
And people were saying, you know, there's this research going on with bioweapons and biological weaponry, and it could be released to the public and kill millions of people. And at that time, you know, I had a lot of people on my show who would present various conspiracies. And, you know, I kind of took a slight jaundiced eye to it, but they were right. That is what's happened. You know, there's more evidence that's mounted that it was released from a lab. And when Obama banned it, you had groups like Fauci's organization and now apparently Google doing an end run around America by actually helping finance it in a communist country. I mean, it's outrageous. And
well, here's the interesting thing about that. And this is all tied into, and I've been harping on this for years. There's way too much money that the government is spending on very dubious, pointless research. I have argued, and people haven't been able to counter it, that you could eliminate 50% of all academic research and it wouldn't affect anything other than the colleges would have less money and the government would have more money. The problem with virology is that it became a very sexy topic to do gain of function research. And when you think about it, there's not a hell of a lot more you can do in virology other than study the life and mating habits of viruses. You know, they exist. There's God knows how many viruses in the world. There's some extraordinary statistics that if you took every virus that existed and stretched it out end to end, it would go something like 200 light years into space.
Sure. Right?
So one would think that you would be interested in therapeutics, but they're not. Instead, they found that they could get lucrative contracts by doing what was then openly called gain of function research, but then that became a bad word. So you have these lunatics, like the head of the Wuhan lab, this Dr. Xi, saying, oh no, we're not doing gain of function research. We're just trying to see how to move the virus from one species to the other.
Yeah, right, the infamous bat lady.
Yeah.
And also I discovered that in the 1990s or maybe 2000s, Congress got rid of a law that had been in place, sort of similar to the Glass-Steagall Act in banking, which basically put a law, a wall between banks and private investment firms, saying you can't invest in those as a way to avoid that, you know, the fraud and abuse.
Right.
They removed the wall between college research and the high tech or the biotech industry, which means that a college professor could profit and a college university could profit from this kind of research. And as a result, you know, there was a financial incentive to go ahead and research viruses and at the same time own shares in the drug company that's going to offer a vaccine. And that's why you have, for example, according to what I was listening to, Anthony Fauci having a financial stake in Moderna. And other people who develop the vaccines for the same, you know, sort of like creating the poison and the antidote in the same laboratory.
Well, the power of Tony Fauci is that he controls a lot of research dollars. And the reason that all these virologists are silent and we're very happy to create this nonsense about the lab leak is a conspiracy theory, and this Peter Daszak guy actually is very disgraced now because he ended up putting together that so-called statement in The Lancet. It was all crap. But these people are looking at losing source of funding. You know, if you speak out, that's it. But my point is that it's already been proven that the research is useless. Never mind dangerous. It's useless because, well, if we've learned anything, how come we didn't have an instant solution to COVID-19? But it didn't help at all. And no,
well, I mean, they've been doing that research for decades and nothing came of it. But the real problem here is the research itself is bad enough because it's dangerous.
Yes.
But to do it in communist China, you know, where you have an enemy that's developing biological weapons, that's like doing, I mean, I understand we're going to do nuclear testing here, but would we give the nuclear testing over to the Soviet Union back in the day? I mean, you know, this is like what the Rosenbergs did.
Well, let me give you the example of actually a New England guy, Gerald Bull. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that whole story.
No.
All right, Gerald Bull was a genius at developing weapons. And he had figured out some massive artillery that could shoot stuff into distances that had never been heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So he got some initial money from, I believe, the Air Force. And he went up to the little town of North Troy, Vermont, which no doubt you're familiar with, and was ending up shooting this stuff into Canada, testing this various kind of thing. The Air Force then said, gee, you know, Jerry, this is great. We want you to scale this up. So he scales it up. And then he goes back and he spent a lot of his own money to do this. Then he goes back to the Air Force and say, well, you know, here's the proof of concept. So where's the money? Well, it ended up that the Air Force decided that maybe this guy was a little rough around the edges. And said, no, Jerry, we're not going to fund it. And so what he did was he went to a country called, you may have heard of this, Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Got money from them. So the mentality is that these mad scientist types are so sure of what they're doing is so great that they don't think about the consequences. And I find it very funny, and maybe that's the wrong word, that everybody condemns Josef Mengele. But how is this crap any different? In fact, Mengele was a saint in the terms of the number of people he killed. compared to how many died.
How many died with COVID. I mean, this is all this kind of like scientific community. I mean, when I did my research for my book, The Nazi Connection of Islamic Terrorism, I came across the fact that not only did Mengele get off scot-free, basically, he retired in Bolivia or somewhere in South America where he drowned in a swimming pool in 1970, probably had a heart attack. This is 25 years after the war.
Yeah.
And he was probably living pretty well, having a swimming pool. But his mentor, Dr. Berscher, von Berscher,
right,
who was involved with really ghoulish stuff, he basically got a slap on the wrist. I think he did like 6 months in jail. And then he went back to his job at the University of Munster, where he continued on working, and he passed away in the 1970s. And I think that when you go even further, you look at all of those people basically either got a slap on the wrist or they got off scot-free. And,
there were a bunch of them
working for the United States or for Russia. And yeah, it's kind of like a tacit understanding that scientists have a little bit of a pass because after all, they're doing something more important, in, you know, regardless of the heinous nature.
Well, I mean, the infamous Operation Paperclip that you probably know about.
Yep, sure.
That was Arthur Rudolph, who is a flat out Nazi.
Right.
That was recruited by the U.S.
Well, he was a rocket scientist, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then they had to get rid of him because it was too ridiculous. Wernher von Braun had some connections. I mean, they all did with the Nazi Party. Von Braun wasn't as much of an animal, so they were able to clean him up.
Clean him up? They put him on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah.
He became like, Mr. America.
A role model for American kids. Yeah. But in terms of this virus research, the trouble is that if anything comes out of it, which I don't think will, I mean, they've already made a fall guy. Fauci, it's going to be more difficult to make him a fall guy, but he would be the obvious one. But the other problem is that the media has done nothing, and it's only very reluctantly that they have to jump now on the bandwagon of the lab leak theory, simply because they look ridiculous.
And not only do they look ridiculous, but now there are all of these scientists coming out, particularly this woman at MIT, who said that they suspected that this was a lab problem early on, and they actually wrote a paper which they had to basically retract. And the reason they did was because they didn't want to be seen as saying something that President Trump might agree with. They wanted that they were basically in the thrall of this irrational Trump hatred.
Well, how sick is that, by the way?
It's absolutely demented. And the same thing is true with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, I may add, that, because Trump endorsed it, they had to back away from it. I mean, we could even read more sinister motives into that one. I mean, and I don't know if I want to go there, but on the surface, that their obsession with Trump led to people dying all over.
Well, one potentially sort of sinister thing is that if you agree that there are therapies with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, then one has to wonder what the emergency use authorization for the vaccine was based on.
Right. I mean, look, now it's been admitted after Trump's safely out of office in January of this year by the American Medical Association peer-reviewed journal that hydroxychloroquine is a safe and effective drug. Now we know this after a year of people not getting it and dying, that if it's used in the early stages of COVID-19, it is very effective. It was approved by the FDA back in the 1970s. You know, it's not the kind of thing you just get over the counter. You have to have a prescription, which means a doctor screens you because there are some issues around it, just like any other drug. But that it was denounced publicly by Fauci when he probably, who knows, he was probably taking it, including his family. We don't know that. But, in other words, it was denounced because Trump took it. And I mean, in a more sinister sense, I wonder if they actually wanted to let the virus continue. Was there a genocidal piece to this? I mean, was there a piece to it, like a financial piece, and that they just wanted to monopolize on the vaccine? It's a, there's some big, big questions.
Around. Oh, there's big questions, but never impose a conspiracy theory when mere incompetence or corruption would explain it. There were a lot of people that were caught up in this Trump derangement nonsense. There were people
to the point where they're willing to sacrifice hundreds of thousands of people, their grandparents, you know, people, you know, just because of their to feed their demented, irrational hatred of Trump and to stop Trump. And then they tell us we shouldn't question the election. Anyway, that's a whole different
story. Well, right. But I mean, the other thing was, if you look at a guy like Cuomo or Whitmer,
right,
in Michigan, it just became a mad power grab.
Cuomo allowed the naval ship to sit in New York Harbor. This was a ship that had military trained doctors and nurses. These are the best people in the world. These are people who know how to go into a war zone and deal with medicine. And they sat there for 5 weeks twiddling their thumbs. Right. Nobody was brought on board while Cuomo was putting COVID-19 positive people in nursing homes. I mean, why he's not brought up on war crimes, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because too much of fundamentally the leadership and the thought leadership in the United States is based on this very sinister left-wing atheist liberal mentality. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, and then the pandemic proved it, it doesn't matter how bad it gets, they won't accept it. In other words, if you can watch burning and rioting going on in Portland and have this imbecile announcer tell you that there's no rioting or burning going on when that's what you see in front of your eyes, then we've reached that point. Right. So it's just astonishing how many people are so invested in this narrative beyond all reason. They don't want to think about it. It's so much easier to accept this. And let's face it, the way that people succumb to these lockdowns without basically a whimper.
Well, it does have that side to it also. You have these authoritarian blue state governors who are just not going to let go of this enormous power that they've achieved. And you've got now in Europe, you've got the electronic passports. That's coming here. I mean, I think as Dr. Naomi Wolf is talking about that on Steve Bannon's War Room, which is excellent. I urge people to listen. I listen to it every day. It's one of the best, along with the Gateway Pundit and a few other outlets. And that's going to decide, you know, once you have that, I mean, they can shut your online activities off. They could shut you from basically processing credit cards online. They could, you know, they could decide to do all sorts of stuff, like they do in communist China. And this is all because you don't have the vaccine. Now, I understand that the, since we're on the topic, and again, this is not on YouTube, so we're a little bit freer to talk about it. I understand that the CDC is now not recommending that people under 18 get the vaccine. And that there have been, they're looking into, I think they're having meetings about the fact that young, particularly males, are having heart problems after getting the vaccine. What do you know about that, Michael?
Well, okay. It was the typical thing where none of this, by the way, you read any major media outlet, none of this has been reported. You go on to other media outlets that are easy enough to find. The latest case was a 13-year-old boy who died 3 days after having the second dose. And incredibly, I am not making this up, the apologists for the vaccine came out and said, well, you know what? You probably had a pre-existing heart condition that just wasn't diagnosed.
Even if he did, the point is it happened, it was triggered by the vaccine.
Well, you can't really argue with that kind of nonsense, but that has been the default position. There are people going around working with the NFL, and I've seen this in the Washington Post, that the players came out and said, yeah, we had a session with so-and-so, and they said, disregard the fact that there are over 6,000 death reports on the VAERS database. None of these have been, quote, proven. So I raise the question, how do you prove it?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, to my way of thinking, and again, this is anecdotal, and I'm not a doctor, but we might recall the swine flu vaccine of the late 1970s. About a year later, you had people who were getting paralysis and other illnesses, and we're talking a lot of people. I don't know, I mean, the
there were 25 deaths, and they shut it off.
Yeah, 60 Minutes did a piece on it. I think it was, I saw some clips on that. And this one is worse. I mean, from what I've been told.
Well, this was all part of this. First of all, there's never been in history a program to get people vaccinated like this. I'm old enough to remember the polio vaccines, and believe me, they didn't have to sell those. People were lining up.
Oh yeah, I remember lining up gladly with a drink.
Yep. And there were some nasty incidents regarding defective vaccines, by the way, which only slowed things down for a few days. But this idea of selling this, and now the CDC is kind of backing off, but that's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have enough due diligence so this doesn't have to happen.
Now, to kind of give the other side of the thinking here,
right?
One of the reasons why they say smallpox was eradicated, and polio was pretty much eradicated,
right,
is because they reached 100% vaccinated all over the world,
right,
and that therefore the disease was eradicated, and that's what has to be done because this coronavirus ain't going anywhere. It's going to be, you know, even the flu right now that we get every year goes back to the Spanish flu of 1918.
Yeah, but let's critique that for 1 second. Mm-hmm. I'm not against vaccines per se, but I'm against a vaccine that's rushed out and then problems occur in the field and they just blow them off, which is what's happening here. And isn't it interesting that it wasn't old people, it wasn't the 28-year-old woman that dropped dead. When it started happening to kids, suddenly they realized maybe we have a problem here, because kids don't get the damn disease and they don't die of it. So why force the vaccine on them?
It's horrendous.
It was absolutely insidious. The CDC should be shut down. They're a pointless organization. Everything they've ever done for the last 40 years has been wrong. You could put together a blue ribbon commission of academic doctors that could handle these things better. The CDC, I don't know what they can hang their hat on, any success that they've had recently. Maybe they can marshal the resources to look at contamination in a water supply or something like that. And then if you look at NIH, their resume, frankly, it's not that great. And while we're at it,
covered up
neither is the FDA's.
Oh, not the NIH, the WHO covered up the China virus. I mean, completely in the pocket of China while the thing spread.
Yeah, China didn't apologize for SARS.
Which also apparently was a lab thing. I mean, according to what I've
seen. Yes. So here's what's so stupid about it. No one denies that SARS was a lab thing. Well, the fact that the disease was first noticed in Wuhan, the fact that they had it in the lab, I mean, you have to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to at least suspect that. But this, it was the Trump derangement syndrome combined with a cadre of pointless scientists doing dangerous research. I challenge anybody watching this to tell me how this is different from Mengele.
This is the biggest scandal. The lab aspect of the virus, along with the suppression of reasonable methodologies to combat it, like hydroxychloroquine and even vitamin D, this is the biggest scandal since the Holocaust. It really is. I mean, this is an international human rights disaster. The fact that these things, either they were planned or they happened because of incompetence or because of political hatreds, that this is just, you know, de facto. It's not as bad as putting people in an oven, but it's almost at that level.
So how come, besides you, no one is making these statements?
Well, because they
can't pretty obvious
make statements, because if you make these statements, you get purged on YouTube. That's why. I mean, if you make these statements in a major newsroom, you're not going to have a career. That's why.
Well,
I mean, I'm doing it here on BitChute. What do I care? I'm just, you know, right. You know what I mean? It's
but what's in it for Google?
Because Google apparently is part of this international Great Reset movement. You say they were actually financing
yes.
gain of function at Wuhan. That's why. Them and Facebook and the rest of these people, probably.
So tell me, it's not enough to make billions of dollars having a tech platform. You have to now become a master of the universe.
Well, maybe one of the reasons they are making billions of dollars is because they are sold out to this master of the universe agenda a long time ago, you know, to a certain extent. I mean, they have monopolistic de facto powers. They're not ultra open monopolies, but they control the means of communication all over the world. That doesn't just happen by accident. People don't, you know, they have to play ball with a certain point of view to get to that. And probably, I don't know, a guy like a Zuckerberg and these people, they probably were part of it right from the very beginning. He probably was recruited by the CIA. I mean, now all this information is coming out that how much the FBI and the CIA had agents in just about every, and they were spying on thousands of Americans. I mean, we now have information indicating that the FBI played a major role in the violent aspect of the protests on December 6th.
January 6th.
Thank you. This is all coming out. And this was a situation where, I mean, obviously, you know, the establishment and the Democrats and the people that control Biden, they all wanted to stop those hearings, you know, because those hearings, which were sponsored by seven states, including New Mexico, which was a Biden state, each state was going to get up to 2 hours to present their evidence of fraud and why they wanted to replace the Biden delegates with either a decertification or a Trump delegation. This is how the Constitution works. This is what had been done in elections going way back, and that this whole proceeding was interrupted by these people who—
How come so few people have mentioned that?
That's a good question, because obviously that's who, and that Trump and the rest of us, they lost because of this. There was no hearings after that.
That's—
they were
right
in the middle of the Arizona hearings. And by the way, they were on television and they were stunning. The evidence was rolling out. And all of a sudden the guy with the fuzzy hat and the horn shows up and everything gets shut down. Then they have a reconvening at 1 o'clock in the morning while the media is gone. And they gavel it through. There were no hearings. Seven states were deprived of hearings. If there had been hearings, then maybe we would have gotten to the bottom of this, the question of whether or not there was fraud. But I suspect that the reason we didn't is because they would have gotten to the bottom of it. And now we find out that the FBI, and not to mention Antifa, were all over that. I'm not saying they were the ringleaders, even though I personally think they probably were. And that they were the ones who did the violent activity that ironically was filmed by CNN and everyone else.
Yes.
And, you know, what was not shown in the films was how the police were like, well, come on in. And they were ushering everyone in. Now I see this video of this guy, Baked Alaska. I don't know if you know who he is. blogger, you know, podcaster, kind of a nut a little bit, you know, a little bit on the edge, a prankster. I saw him interviewed by Milo Yiannopoulos, and he was in the Capitol peaceably. He was standing right next to the people at CNN videoing during the thing. This is what he does. He goes in and he videos if there's something happening. He was put in a prison in solitary confinement for about a month. And then the FBI said that if he didn't give them names, which he doesn't have, he didn't know anything, he could do up to 12 years in prison. I mean, this is, you know, and they let him out, but he's still facing very, very serious charges. And he did nothing. It was, trespassing. It was a misdemeanor. And even then, I mean, who knew? I mean, they were letting everyone in. And now you have, I think it's at least 200, if not 300 people being held in a prison somewhere in Washington, D.C., who are charged with things like trespassing. They would, you know, like minor charges. They have not had a court date. Many of them are in solitary confinement. They have been tortured. Don't forget, these people are being portrayed as white supremacists, which is untrue. Right. And, you know, black guards, you know, there's all kinds of stories coming out about mistreatment. And this is, I mean, these are political prisoners. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what they are. Meanwhile, the ringleaders have disappeared. They're quote unquote unindicted co-conspirators, which means that they're FBI agents or their FBI assets. Did they instigate this? I don't know, but I think that it's not implausible to suggest it.
Well, here's the other thing. You know, we're talking about some very august U.S. agencies. We mentioned the medical ones. The FBI has had a very bad history since at least Ruby Ridge.
It has.
And nothing seems to have happened, though.
They've had their fingerprints on all of these major mass murders where they apparently knew about the person involved. This whole business with those guys who were going to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, there were five of them, two of them were FBI agents.
This
is like it's a threat to freedom. This is like, they're like almost like, I wouldn't call them terrorists, but they have become, they've gone completely off the rails. Now, I know that J. Edgar Hoover was no saint and that it wasn't perfect, but at least back then, he was going after the mafia. He was going after the Communist Party. He was going after the KKK. These are real enemies of
America. Well, isn't it ironic that Hoover was condemned for playing rough with legit bad guys?
Exactly.
And yet in the current regime, these are provocateurs. There have been credible proposals to eliminate the FBI. And have the U.S.
They should get rid of it. It's dangerous to freedom. I mean, they're spying on Americans. They're instigating violence through these plants. I mean, it's one thing when they were infiltrating the Ku Klux Klan. That was legitimate. You need that. Or they infiltrated the Black Panthers in Operation COINTELPRO. They were violent revolutionaries. They were enemies of the state. But now they're instigating like actions against Trump. By doing this thing on January 6th, and they're basically turning a blind eye to real terrorists. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on over there. I think it has a lot to do with when they put in Mueller, and then Comey, his protege, and now this guy Ray is also pretty bad. I mean, these are like, you know, administrative establishment types, and the fact that Ray would testify before Congress and refuse to answer questions from elected congressmen. These are people we elect to go into Congress to basically have governing powers. They're legitimate people. And he refuses to answer who killed Ashley Babbitt. He refuses to release tapes that they're asking them to release. This is a rogue agency. He should be put in behind bars until he receives that information. They should have taken him away with shackles.
Well, one of the problems is that he's probably
until he releases it.
He's probably got the goods on most of these people in Congress.
Well, yeah, that's how J. Edgar Hoover would play, when he would gather dirt on people. I'm but not apologizing.
Hoover, at least Hoover didn't do anything that's nearly as bad as this.
Right. Well, that's right. At least he was gathering dirt on the bad guys.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, meanwhile, they're blackmailing probably just about everyone in Congress. So they, you know, you got these Republicans who are afraid, who are cowering because they got dossiers on just about everyone, every move you made.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is an insidious and dangerous power. They're operating like the Gestapo operated in Nazi Germany, like the Stasi operated in Soviet Union. This is what Lenin did. He sent out his secret gendarmes to gather up, you know, to attack his enemies, political enemies. You know, Trump is their political enemy. We're not talking about Ku Klux Klan here. We're talking about spying on a presidential candidate, the Pfizergate fiasco with Strzok and Page. And now we're talking about putting assets, or, you know, seeding into groups trying to infiltrate them. You have this former military guy saying that he was recruited, or they attempted to recruit him to infiltrate the Oath Keepers, the FBI did. So, yeah, this is what they do. This is what they've been doing. This is what they've talked about doing. Of course they did this. They were in it and they were influencing it. I mean, hell, there were FBI agents involved in the World Trade Center bombing. I don't want to go into that, but, you know, this is, it's really, really troubling. I know that in Boston, during the Boston Marathon, FBI agents knew about those murderers. And our local congressman, Stephen Lynch, a liberal Democrat, he asked the FBI director, who, by the way, was Bob Mueller, to please release information about this. And Mueller said no. He's elected. This is his district where this terrorist act took place. He has the authority to ask a government agency, which operates for under his control, to conduct, to do whatever he wants them to do. They don't have the authority to say no to a sitting congressman. He should have been arrested for that.
Well, right. I mean,
maybe Lynch doesn't have the spine to stand up to them, but yeah, you know, somebody has to.
Well, it's been traditional that the Congress ultimately didn't have the teeth. Okay.
Well, that we're sunk in this country because it's the Congress that we elect and that have the sole authority over these agencies. These agencies exist at the behest of Congress.
Mueller should have been taken into custody.
If they're defying Congress, that's contempt of Congress, and they should be charged. They should be put behind bars until they...
Well, look at what happened to Eric Holder. He was actually found in contempt.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing happened to him. He wore it like a banner. It's too bad, but here again, it's the old story. When something is really bad, people don't want to talk about it. It's easier to say it's a conspiracy theory.
Right, to attack it as a conspiracy theory, which, by the way, I read something about this whole line of reasoning to attack people for conspiracy theories.
The CIA came up.
The CIA, the Warren Commission, people who questioned the Kennedy assassination were called conspiracy theorists and denounced publicly and mocked and destroyed for that. So that's where that started. Of course, we're supposed to look into conspiracies. They happen all the time. That's why we have a free press. That's why we have free speech. That's why we have the right to assemble. I mean, these are basic.
Except you don't.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the point. So anyway, Mike, I want to just finish up by doing a little update on the election
stuff. Yeah, please. I was going to ask you about that.
Of course. The Maricopa County forensic audit is continuing. It is the best, the most comprehensive audit ever. Should be done in all 50 states. Should be done after every election. They are forensically examining every ballot. We're talking about 1.2 million ballots. They're looking for whether or not absentee ballots were actually mailed, or if they are pristine. They're looking for whether a ballot had a real, you know, vote, or was it a machine vote. They're looking at canvassing sources of the ballots, and they're finding that ballots had been mailed to empty parking lots and that kind of thing, whether or not there was actually a voter behind it. And they're going to be issuing their report, and when they do, is going to be an explosion. Already you have Attorney General Merrick Garland threatening to go in to Arizona, and he's been met by a strong Arizona Attorney General and this woman in this Representative Rogers, who asserted the Constitution by saying that audits and election policy are a state matter. And if he comes in as a federal agent, they're going to put him in an Arizona jail. That's a hell of a stand. So everything, they haven't figured out how to stop.
Why is Garland even trying to do this? What is he hoping to do?
He's being told by the deep state to stop this audit. It's horrible for them because of what it's going to prove, which is voter fraud, I think. Right. And now you have the same thing. Apparently, state reps have visited in person from, I think it's now a dozen states, including recently Oregon. You have Folsom County in Georgia, which is one of the most rotten of all, where apparently the state conducted a secret audit of absentee ballots right after the election, which they lied about, which Raffensperger lied about, that being Secretary of State. And in that audit, they found entire batches of absentee ballots with 100% for Biden. And I'm not just talking one example of this. There were many. That's statistically impossible, as you pointed out. And they found that military ballots, 100% for Biden. I don't think so. So that's bubbling under the surface. And now you have Forsyth County in Pennsylvania. You've got Windham, New Hampshire. You've got in Michigan. There have been, I think it's almost 1,000 affidavits delivered to that corrupt Secretary of State there. She refused to accept them. And you've got Wisconsin, where you have 140,000 ballots that were cast after the election and under very questionable circumstances in terms of their legality. And a particular problem at Green Bay, where you had this guy come in from New York who was given the keys to the ballot counting room and who was contacting people, telling them to go home, and some of these same patterns. So I think that things are moving in the direction of proving that the election was stolen. And I don't know what that's going to ultimately mean. If you listen to Mike Lindell, who I think is one hell of a good guy.
He has his own case against Dominion.
He has his own case. And talk about fraud. Elizabeth Warren is on record as pointing a finger at them.
Yeah.
He thinks that Trump is going to be inaugurated at the end of August. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, oh, man. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, given the agenda of taking Trump out, I mean, I don't know what we can expect to happen as these revelations become more prominent. But I can tell you it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be very damaging for certainly freedom-loving people, but for the whole country, because they're going to do whatever they have to do to make sure this doesn't happen. And that, you know, they're going to protect their corrupt and illegitimate.
Until they find a fall guy and try to blame it on him.
That's right. I hope it's something that mild, you know, because who knows what they might do. We could all be facing, I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to think about it, but I'm just saying they will go to great lengths to not let this happen.
But haven't you seen, though, that the greater lengths they go to, the worse ultimately it becomes? Even go to a relatively minor thing of moving the All-Star game, which now, what's her name? Stacey Abrams. Is now trying to back off.
Even she stepped away from that one. And talk about corrupt. I mean, we could even get into Georgia is really rotten. At least I can say that the Republicans in Congress have stood up and they've rejected what would have been a federalizing of all elections, the H.R. 1.
Right.
They stood up firmly. 50 of them voted against it, so they don't have a filibuster. And that's not going to happen. And that's good. I mean, it's really a shock to me that you'd have all the Democrats, all of them, support that.
Yeah, it's all in lockstep.
I mean, this is, how could anyone, this is a it's and you had this commentator, I forget his name. He's a major Democratic guy on CNN. Actually, admit that they need this, or they're not going to win the another election. So that tells you everything you need to know about this.
Yeah.
It basically federalizes the election. Elections, the federal election, elections, period, are state elections, including the presidential. It's,
right.
50 state elections that happen every 2 years, and for president every 4 years. This bill would have federalized the control over the election. It would have banned things like voter ID. It would have allowed for things like voter harvesting, which is obviously corrupt. It would have basically put in place some of the same corrupt practices and formally legalized them that led to this debacle of 2020. And I mean, enough people are aware of it that it was stopped for now. And that's good. And that could be a very important step in the right direction.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Although I don't trust the Republicans, but nevertheless, there's enough people aware of this and the dangers that that presented, and this Orwellian idea that this was supposed to be in voter integrity, which is, you know, the opposite. Anyway, Mike, so what are you working on now?
Well, actually, I took a bit of a hiatus from my Health News Digest. I've been running that column for 17 years, and decided to back off for a few weeks, devoting to other projects. So, I'll be back. But
you've written over 1,000 articles, Health News Digest. Right. Check it out.
Yeah. So, that's right now, vacation status, if you will.
Okay.
But,
okay. Good going. You're on assignment.
I'm on assignment to
All right.
I'm working on other stuff that's not necessarily related to, it's related to health, but not to that publication.
So, oh, okay. Well, that's good. All right, Mike.
Good luck on your
Zoom call. Yeah, thank you. Should be interesting, especially I want to see what the doctor says when I mention hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, it may throw you out.
Oh, boy. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks a lot. All right.
Take care.
Take care.